welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
There's people here that don't know me. My name's Carla. I'm 29 and I was in Uganda over the summer, my second time. I went the year before as well. And really, we just went. We went as part of a team, sort of under the umbrella of the Down Battalion Boys Brigade, which is sort of out St. Field direction, if any of you know it. But we went out as part of a team, and really why we went was to love people. And that is one of the things the Ugandans say over and over again. People say all the time, well, can we not just send the money? Well, you know, sure, you just send the money and that, you know, that meets whatever need they have. But the Ugandans themselves would say, no, actually, we want people to come and share with us and be with us more so than we want any money. So that really spoke to me when I found that out this year, because we do think automatically that money, you know, just give money or give food or give clothing or whatever. And yes, that's true. But knowing, I think the people out there, they know that there are people at home that, who love them here in Northern Ireland and other countries around the world that love them and people that are praying for them. So that means even more to them. And I think you and I would probably agree the same. If we don't have people around us, we don't have people loving on us. I know what I would rather have more than money or anything else. So when I just want to start off by it's already been sort of alluded to this morning, but the scripture came to mind as we were singing, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And you know, any of us sitting here, whether you know it or not, if you're in Jesus, you're free. You're free from your past, you're free from your sin, you're free from your sickness. No matter what your circumstances show, you are free. And yeah, you will see that in some of these videos, the Ugandans have a revelation of their freedom in Christ. So we'll see a bit more of that later on. So I was part of Team Bethel. This is our team. There are two teams that go out each year, and there are teams that go out throughout the year as well. But in the summertime, there are two teams, and we are a mixed bunch, all ages. I think our youngest was 19. They can be younger than that, though, if anybody's interested. And you can, there's really no upper age limit. I think folk in their 60s this year, all backgrounds, people like myself, medically trained, nurses, school teachers, tradesmen, plumbers, aspiring engineers, students and things like that. So everybody worked together, but we all had the one goal, and that was sharing Jesus with the people of Nakasongola. So we traveled out together. We went to, yeah, as I said, the district of Nakasongola, which is about 3 hours north of the capital city of Uganda. That's Kampala. It's a small region, but the very specific area that we went to was based around a school that's been built, a high school. It's a boarding school as well. And it's a small sort of village set up there. There's school and housing, little villages. There's a medical center and vocational. I'll chat all about that later. But this is who met us at the airport. This young man's name is Ezra. Ezra is 22 and he is a real character. He dressed up in his three-piece suit to come and meet us at the airport. And just that's just his love for his Northern Irish family. You know, he just lives for the journeys that we make coming out every year. And this is the bus that he brought us in. So we were all quite shocked this year, because the year before we had a very large, almost like a coach, and plenty of room, you know, surplus space. But this time we came in this little tiny little minivan. But there's a great testimony behind that minivan. So we were piled in like sardines. And by the way, the top, the roof, that got even higher. We just prayed the whole way that nothing was going to happen. But this was our inside, and we had suitcases on top of our laps, and we traveled like that for 5 hours. And I know a lot of us were getting a little bit uncomfortable and tired and warm and hungry. But God had a plan in all of that and a purpose for that, because the bus driver is a Muslim man, and his name is Survivor. And the reason he's called Survivor is because when he was younger, he got attacked in the face with a machete. And he survived, so he's known as that. But he's one of the sweetest men you'll ever meet. And he, as I say, is a Muslim. And there was one lady, one part of our, a lady called May in our team, who loved to sit up front, always sat up front in the van. And we used to tease her about it and say, you know, you're always sitting up at the front. Why don't let someone else have a turn? But she was witnessing. We didn't know. She was witnessing to this man. And at the end of our trip, he took a Bible and he was going home to tell his family about Jesus. So God has, don't ever complain about the circumstance, because you just don't know what God's doing in that. So this was our view as we drove up to the high school, which is where our guest house is based in the grounds of. This is a sports field, but I don't know if you can see it. You may have to look very closely, but that arrow is pointing to a rainbow. And just as we drove up, I was just reminded of God's promise. You know, God's promises to you and I are the same as they are to folk all around the world and here in Nakasongola. It was just a beautiful reminder, so I thought I would include that. So this is a video. It's going to play shortly, hopefully, if it works. And this is how the Ugandans greet you. You stand for about an hour as they dance and go through different ceremonies. And this is all just to show their love and appreciation. Is one of the most humbling experiences you can have, to have people have spent time putting together dances and songs and prayers, and they greet you for over an hour. It's amazing. So our first real stop, once we start, we have a program each day, and our typical day consists of getting up first thing in the morning. We have devotions together, and then we go to the local primary school for the first week. And then the primary school I'm talking about is where really this whole project began. A lot of you might have already heard my talks previously on how this village essentially was built around the building of a primary school, which was erected after children were found to be meeting under a tree for their basic education. So this is Kawandwe Primary School. It's a little distance away from where we stay, but you're greeted very warmly there as well. And this past year, there's been a lot of changes and challenges there. They had found a lot of the school teachers were not turning up to teach their classes, which is something we just can't really comprehend over here. But there it was happening and children weren't being educated. So there was a lot of prayer and discussions that took place. They've got a brilliant new principal who's come in and really has a heart for the children, has a heart for the school and their education, and a heart for God, most importantly. And he is just revamping everything, and he's employed new teachers, and the children are really doing well again. So you might see on the next slide that they just love to dance. Africans love to dance, and it's brilliant. This might play the video. So one of the really interesting things about the primary school is you can be maybe 10, 11, 12 years old and be in primary one, depending on your ability and where you start your whatever age you start your education at. So a lot of these girls you'll see are maybe like 16 and are a lot older, and, you know, they're maybe in primary 7, primary 6. So there was a wide variety there, but yep. This is another dance. This is actually, they did like a whole leaving ceremony for us at the end of the 2 weeks, but this is them again. And they just, it's just one of their ways. They just love to bless people and bless the Lord with their dance. So this is another one. So much joy in Africa. I find that, yeah, there is despite everything they go through. So this is a picture. You probably can't see it all very clearly, but it's an area we go to called, known as the camp, and it's an area that's about maybe an hour and a half's drive away from where we stay, and it's one of the place where the poorest of the poor people live. They have a chief who is a bit richer. You'll see him. He's more, they probably won't see him actually in these photos, but he's more well-dressed, and he sort of oversees about 700 or 800 people, and where they live and just everything about their lives. He has the final say on things. So as I say, the poorest of the poor people, and go out there really to give. On this occasion, we give out soap. Other times we give out clothes that you folks have donated. And it really is, you'll see on other slides as we progress on, it'll show you some examples of what it's like. So this is a picture of a lady and her 5 children. And this is her mud hut house. And I hope you can appreciate it, but her house is completely flooded. That's just water. Her house is standing up in water, and she is probably the poorest of the poor of the poor, if that makes sense, because she's on the outskirts of the camp near the river. And that is why she's suffered the flooding of her house. I was reading recently an article by a girl who goes out to Uganda and to the area we go to. She's part of Kasachi Ministries, which is one of the, so I suppose, sub charities that we're involved with. And she said, we often, and I know this myself, you hear people say, and you probably heard yourself say, they're poor but they're happy. But she said, think again when you say those things, because, and yes, it's true, and there is so much joy in these people's hearts, but there's also so much in the way of challenges and difficulties in just getting through your day. She illustrated, which I've just really hit me and I've never forgotten it. She said, your typical African mother, she maybe has 10 children at any one time, 10 children, 4 or 5 of them might be ill, sick at any one time. She has nowhere for them to sleep except an earthen floor. She has no clean clothes to change them into. If they have vomiting, if they've diarrhea, if they have those, illnesses, she doesn't have money for medication for them. She doesn't have money for clean water to give them to drink. Imagine giving your child dirty water, when they're vomiting. It's just unthinkable. She's trying to manage all these children on her own. Her husband is far away, as is typical out there often. Men don't hang around. Sort of come and go and don't really provide very much, certainly in the region we were in anyway. She doesn't have money for her next meal. She doesn't know where it's going to come from. And, we tend to think, life can be tough, but sometimes I don't think we appreciate just how tough it can be. And then sometimes children, getting unwell and don't make it. And the sorrow that those mothers must carry is just unthinkable, really. So just a wee challenge. I'm certainly not going to say that phrase again. They're poor but they're happy. They are happy, but so this is an example of a house, again sort of wee bit made of mud, and they often use sort of metal sheeting or plastic for the roofs as well in their houses. And just that just last slide just showed you the close proximity of the water. So you can imagine if there's rain, and rain in Africa is a wonderful thing, but then if it wipes away your house, it's not so great. But it just shows you how close. And as well as that, there's a lot of, you know, there's risk of infection and just sort of a lot of insects and things all around. Mosquitoes in particular love the water, so they're around those areas and people are living there and maybe don't have mosquito nets or any way to prevent themselves getting bitten by mosquitoes. That can be a real challenge. These are just some of the gorgeous faces. And, you know, despite it all, they've got smiles. I think if we were in that situation, I don't know if I'd be smiling, but I just thought I would include this picture. This lady, she has a child, and this is an albino baby. I have pictures of her husband, both of them, they're very happily together. And it's really, it was great to see, because a lot of, I've been told that previously any children that were born albino were very much seen as maybe cursed or, you know, of the devil. So it was really good to see that they were looking after this child. They weren't neglecting it. And they were actually taking steps to look after it, because in that sun, you can imagine just the vulnerability of that baby. So it was good to see that progress. And this is just an example, just giving out some soap. Bars of soap, so greatly appreciated. Most simple thing. So I want to talk a bit about this. At the weekend, we made a visit, the middle weekend we were there, we made a visit to the prison in Nakasongola, and we attended both men's and women's sections. The men went to the men's section and us ladies went to the women's. Unfortunately, we can't take any photographs there, but if you can imagine, I'll try to paint a bit of a picture for you. So the men went and played football with hundreds of prisoners, and they shared the gospel with them as well. Us ladies sort of had a bit more of a relaxed time, and we sat under a tree, and we had songs, we had some testimonies, and then we shared about Jesus with them. Despite these ladies being in prison, they are so joyful, and they praise God, and they read, they bring their Bibles around. Often many of them are falsely imprisoned. They shouldn't be in prison, but someone has said something, a husband has accused them of something, and they've been put into prison for it, and they're there serving their time, but so full of joy. So we had a time, and this is what I would say, is when your team is in unity, you can, it's just really awesome what God does. They had asked me to speak to the ladies, and another member of our team had made a small craft for us all to sit and make afterwards. And it was a small, soft, sort of little stitched heart, if you can imagine. It was like stuffed inside. We could put lavender in it and things. And I had sort of prepared a talk somewhat, but I wanted to be led by God while I was speaking. And I didn't know, but one of my friends, her name's Judith, you'll see her in some of these photos, she's ginger hair. But I didn't know this, but she was praying for me the whole time I was speaking. And we're talking about this heart and really how God sees our hearts, God knows our hearts, and how he wants to make them soft. So we're relating it to this craft, and how the lavender inside represents the peace, you know, that God brings when our hearts are soft and surrendered to him, and just how beautiful that our hearts become. I hadn't planned on saying a lot of that, but Judith was praying, and she said to me after, she said, you know, every single word that came out of your mouth, I prayed a few seconds before. And I just thought, you know, just, that's just God, just that unity there. And it was just awesome. It's just a small thing, but like, God's so good, you know. So we were able to share the gospel and give people a chance to respond, which was awesome. So I'm sorry, I have no photos. So this is moving on then to, in our second week, I said in the first week we go to the primary school and have a holiday Bible club there. And on our second week we go to Inspired Hope Nursery School. So this is a nursery school built in the ground, sort of the area that we go to. Only in the last 17 or 18 years, the nursery school hasn't been up and running for that long, but it's already known as one of the best in the whole region. There are very rich Ugandans that will pay to send their children to this nursery school. Amongst little children whose parents have absolutely nothing. So it's beautiful. And they range. There's a baby class and there's a senior class. But we go in and we have songs, crafts, teach them about Jesus. And I'll just show you the more picture. That's them with their colouring in sheets. So all those things people maybe have, maybe not here, but certainly people in Northern Ireland have been donating crayons and pages. But, you know, that means so much to those children because they just don't have that. You know, we take it so for granted over here, but it's so special for them. As you can see, it's a really beautiful classroom as well. Like, they just really have it to the highest standard that they can. And it's all for God's glory. This is just outside some playing some games. If you ever had any need for games in the children's, I'm happily share some because they're brilliant fun. These are some of the little ones brushing their teeth. There's a lady who's a dentist and she's went out and done a lot of work out there. But simplest things, a toothbrush and toothpaste, you know, that just will help those children to keep their teeth good and stop them from all falling out, which often you see in older folk out there. So this is a young guy called James. He's only 19, but he has such a heart for Uganda. He comes from a family who, I would say, in the natural, they're very wealthy, but they don't use their wealth for their own gain. It's all for the Lord, and they just they built this dining hall out there for the nursery school once. You know, and just such a surrendered heart that way. He's just such a young guy on fire for God, just absolutely adores the Lord. And you'll see in the next picture as well, that's the teacher's accommodation. The teachers previously for the nursery school were all living in a small, nearly like a cupboard situation. Three of them living in a tiny room, and now they each have a little house. But, you know, that's just how God works. It's not always bolts of lightning and, you know, things falling from the sky. It's just other people and being faithful to what God's told you to do, you know. So this is a place called New Beginnings Children's Orphanage, Children's Village rather, but it's an orphanage, and it was set up by a man. I think I've chatted about it before, a man from Kilkeel in Northern Ireland, who's really just devoted his life to running an orphanage for children out in Uganda. So these children are orphans, but they're also, a lot of them have physical disabilities and mental disabilities as well. And we go out, and it's the most beautiful. You would think you were going into some fancy holiday village. That is the standard that these children have, and it's so lovely because some of them are so disabled and so unwell. And it's just a lovely environment for them. It's clean. They have education there. They get three meals a day. It's just really good. So I don't know if you can read this or not. You might have seen it before, but it's a quote, and it always speaks to me. It says, 100 years from now, it will not matter what my bank account was, the sort of house I lived in, or the kind of car I drove. However, the world will be different because I was important in the life of a child. Yeah. These children are the future. And they're so special. They each have their own personality. Just like, you know, we just often see masses of faces, but God sees each individual one. Just, you know, and if you get to know them, we'll chat later about a few that really, really impacted me. But they're just, oh, such beautiful hearts. You can move on. That's one little girl. And I included this. I thought this other side of the slide, in New Beginnings, it's lovely. You walk around and they have little stakes in the ground with scriptures on them, and that was one of my favorites. He who promised is faithful. It's just, the whole place is just saturated in the love of God and in the word of God. Really beautiful. You probably can't appreciate it too well, but this is a new block that they're building for accommodation in New Beginnings as well. And God really treated us to a beautiful sunset that evening. We were all just in awe. So unfortunately, I only have one slide, but this is probably one of the biggest parts of my trip this year. This was each afternoon, we had a program for teenage girls sort of years 8 to 9, 10 in school, equivalent over here. And we went out to do sort of a health program. And I hope nobody minds me talking about this in church. Maybe a wee bit. But we all know in maybe primary 7, first year, second year in school, each child gets a bit of a health talk about how they're going to grow up and how their things are going to change for them. But in Uganda, that doesn't happen. And in Uganda as well, it's very much a taboo subject. You don't talk about puberty, I suppose, and what that looks like. Mothers don't talk to their daughters, fathers don't talk to their sons. And what we found was, so we decided to run a program and really found that the girls often had no idea what was happening to them. Some of them thought they were unwell, bitten by snakes. But we ran a program over the course of the first week, and we had planned to do one over the second week in the afternoon in small groups. But in the end, we had to rework our program for the second week because of what God did. Just chatting to them about their value and about how God cares about the smallest details of their lives. I'm sure most of the girls in this room would agree that, especially at a younger age, those things are a big deal, and often difficult to come to terms with mentally, to get your head around. And these poor girls were struggling through, often with nothing. They would miss school for maybe a week at a time because they had to stay in their dormitory or stay at home. You know, they had no products they could use. And we spoke to them basically about what was happening to them and how God, you know, this was part of God's design, that it was a good thing, it wasn't a bad thing. And we're able to provide, just with money that had been raised, we're able to provide sort of reusable sanitary wear that they can clean and use, and that means they can still go to school. And I think really it just broke down a lot of barriers between the girls themselves. You know, there were some obviously that could afford products that they needed, and there were some that couldn't. And often that was very, some of the girls would have felt very, you know, I'm not worth, you know, just the self-worth would have went down. But we encouraged them. We said, you know, talk about it to each other, share with each other. And it really just made such a difference. So you found girls coming along that maybe had a bit more in the way of money. And they would come and share with their friends, or even girls they didn't know very well that had nothing. And it was just, it was beautiful to see. But we're able to teach them about the worth God places on them, and just about purity and walking in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, but that will also bless them in their lives. You can't really see it. You can't see it here, but it was a similar thing done with some of the men, took the boys and taught them as well, and teaching them how to respect girls also, because girls often think they just have to, you know, whatever the boys do, they just have to go with it and that's it. So the girls now know that they have choices they can make, and they deserve respect. But yeah, this picture here basically shows, we found each night, because of the chats we were having during the day, the girls would come to us at devotionals at night. This is the room where the devotionals are held each night, where we just have praise, worship, prayer time, and a word. But we ended up having to rework our program for the second week because there were so many girls coming to us, and just they had just opened up completely. You know, things that would be, Ugandans naturally very shy, but they just opened up, and they would come and they would ask us to pray for them. Some of them would say, I need a Bible. You know, I'm really depressed, but I know I need a Bible. I need the Word of God, things like this. And, but a lot of them had, further questions about their health. So we were able to rework our program and then address them all in this large, number in this setting. And God was just really glorified, because God really does. He cares about the smallest things. And we think, oh, everything has to be very spiritual. But Jesus, you know, he dealt with natural things. And so there's nothing that God is not interested in. So we can move on. So this is a picture of us heading out into the bush. We went into the community, so in the area that we were in, where families are. This is my friend Judith. God really blessed me with her, but that's another thing. This is an anthill. The arrow's pointing to it. It's huge. And she's a tiny girl. She's maybe about this height. And the anthill is massive, and that's where snakes live. So this was quite a challenge for us out in the bush, because a few times we saw dead snakes that had been killed along the path, and we were walking through long grass and sort of thinking, oh. But we had a really great time of team bonding, because we were able to share Psalm 91 with each other, and we read it the whole way through the bush, and God kept us safe. So it was great, and it was so encouraging, maybe for folk that hadn't. I know pastors here would teach, you know, declaring the word over your circumstances and situations. And the team, they were all at it at the end of the day. They were just like, no, you know, we can trample on the cobra and the scorpion. So, so this is us out in the community. This lady on the left is the director, really, that she oversees everything that happens in the area that we work in. Her name's Madame Annette. She's got some peanuts there in her hand that were growing in the ground. But this lady is a very well-equipped, humble lady who really just loves people, loves God, and works for her community tirelessly. She doesn't earn a wage. She lost her parents when she was 14 in an episode of violence. I can't remember the exact circumstance, but they were killed. She was left to bring up her younger siblings. She was raped at 14. She had her own child. Had to give them up for adoption. But she has, just through God's grace and just through holding on to God, has managed to, she's now a teacher. She was headmistress of the high school. She keeps 40 children plus in her home, and looks after them, and just says, if no one else has them or wants them, I will take them. And she looks after, and she teaches then the children that she raises to look after the younger ones, and good life skills. And she sort of notices the giftings in each child and will help them to realize their potential. You know, children that have maybe had disabilities or whatever, and she's said, you know, oh, they're great, they can preach, they know the word, or they're good at caring. So, you know, children's work or nursing, things like that. She really encourages them in their walk with God, most importantly. The picture on the right shows just an example of, I suppose, the poverty. The lady in the striped top, she lives in, this is her home, really. It's just made of sticks and plastic sheeting. And it was difficult to leave her that day because the rain was starting to come, and we knew that her house was going to be affected by that. This is an example of a family out in the community. It's a grandfather, a mother, and then her seven children. Yeah, seven. And they're clothed in the clothes that you have kindly donated. The shirts, the tops, the dresses. These are all from folk here in Northern Ireland. So thank you. It's an example of how we're trying to introduce sustainability to folks' livelihood out, and especially in the communities. So it's a pig project. Pigs cost between, I think, maybe £15-20. And they do really well out there. People can raise them up, grow them, breed them, and then sell them on. So this is, I don't know if he's here, but if Lenny is here, this is your friend. No, he's not. So Lenny had put out a, last year on Facebook, when he knew I was going, he put out an appeal on his Facebook for any clothing that people didn't want and would donate to Uganda. So this is the boys from the high school and some of the football kits. There are so many. I think there were 13 bags, full kits, sent out by this lady, and I've still yet to meet her, but so kind. And oh, these boys, they were overjoyed, like the pride on their faces having a football strip. They were just delighted. So and that's only two of the kits, but yeah, glory to God. Just he just brings people out of nowhere, or seemingly nowhere, you know, and meets a need. So it was great. So this is how you've helped. In total, we raised over £850 to take out clothing as before. And just the prayer support, we knew that when we were out there, just things would happen, circumstances would change, and we just knew it was because of prayer. There's no other way. It's another example of the sustainability that we try to introduce. So there's a whole centre where people are taught in various vocations. So there's hairdressing, sewing, woodwork, all that kind of electrical stuff as well. So it's really trying to meet needs wherever. So not every child or young person is going to be academic. So we say, well, what are you interested in? And try to teach them this. So some of the bags that they've made, these are some of the highest quality bags I've come across. They're so thick and so well made. You know, it was a real credit to them. So this is Rafa Medical Center. And this year we had a real milestone in the medical center because they got running water and put in for the very first time. And they'd been running on for about 5 years, I think, without any running water. So they had to go outside and get all water. You can imagine even just washing your hands after dealing with something, helping a patient or whatever. But they now have sinks indoors, and you can see that in the following slides. That would just make such a difference. And help prevent disease spread as well. You know, you want to go to hospital and think things are going to be clean. You don't want to be going. So that was really, really good. And this is Paul Sobani. He is the same age as I am. And I don't know how he does it, but through God's help, really. He runs Rafa Medical Center on his own with, I think he has now one new medical officer who's just started, and his nurses. So he has a lot on his shoulders. But he relies on God daily, and it meets the needs of the local community 24/7. He's on call. He never has a day off. So pray for Paul. That's him with his stethoscope. One of my colleagues donated to him. But he's doing a fantastic job, and he's so young as well. And he has big dreams for his own life that he's having to put on hold to serve in this way. But he knows where God has put him. So this is an example of the delivery suite. Some work that was done by a girl I know from last year. Very cute. So just quickly, these are some personal highlights of my own. Always involve people because that's what I love. So this is a girl called Dorothy, and she's 16. And she really touched my heart because she was a girl that came to me at the evening devotions. She came seeking absolutely nothing but prayer and a hug. She was a student at the high school, the boarding school, and she came and she just said, "Can you just pray for me? My heart is heavy." And we sort of talked, and it turned out that she'd lost her father that day, and she wasn't going to go to his funeral because it was too far away. But it's just somebody so not focused on themselves, just interested in other people. And she chatted to me, and I was telling her about my goddaughter, just chit chat, Lily. I don't think she's here, but this girl came back to me the following night, and she brought her father a wristwatch her father had given her and wanted to give it to Lily. No, she didn't. We managed to talk her out of it, but just that I can't imagine like giving something to someone that I barely know so valuable to me. But I just saw God's love so much in this girl. She ministered to me more than I ministered to her. And we were able to pray, and she got breakthrough, and she was able to go through with joy, even though her circumstances were so heartbreaking. So that was Dorothy. This is Charity. She's my sponsor child, so it was beautiful, really lovely to meet her. I'd heard a lot about her. I'd never met her before. And one of the days after nursery was finished, we were outside playing, and one of the lady, Madame Annette, the director, she came up and just put this child in my arms, and I didn't know who it was, and then I realized who it was. So that was a very sweet moment. So that's Charity. And the guy on the right is Ivan. I don't know if I've maybe told some people about him before, because Ivan just blows me away. Well, really what God has done in Ivan blows me away. It's just incredible. Ivan's 28. This is him with his girlfriend, Gertrude. And Ivan is one of 28 children. His father was the village witch doctor. And in Ivan's home when he was a boy, there's basically a shrine to the devil. It was just devil worship. Awful conditions to live in. And Ivan was the very first boy that was sponsored by the Down Battalion Boys Brigade many years ago. So Ivan grew up, gave his heart to Jesus at quite a young age, 8 or 9 years old. And Ivan's just a walking, talking, I suppose, just liver of the word. He reminds you of Pastor. Anyways, it's lovely. It's so lovely to see. But he just loves God. He was thrown out of home because he became a Christian by his father. So he's thrown out of home. He lived in porches, house porches. He lived in the trees at times. Was told he wasn't allowed to have any food. And they would give him no clothing. But Ivan persisted and followed Jesus regardless. And he prayed for his family. And long story short, to date, 23 out of the 28 children are now Christians. His father is dead, which Ivan is brokenhearted over because of where his father likely is. But he's amazing. Such just a truly incredible person just to sit with. He sat with him and just the things he can tell you, but more, he just eats, breathes, sleeps the word of God. And it's just the change that can bring. And that can be the same for any one of us. You know, I remember asking God years ago, you know, God, how much can I have of you? And he said, well, you can have as much as you want. And that's just Ivan. And the way he treats this young lady is just such an example. He just puts God first. And through that, just she's a blessed girl, I tell you. It's just a few slight pictures, videos of church in Uganda. It's lively. It's great to be part of. And it's so much easier to dance when everyone else is dancing around you. But we should be getting to this level if we can, because, you know, Christ has set us free and he's worthy of that. We shouldn't be holding back, you know. Why not raise your hands? Why not clap? Why not dance for him? Not for anybody else, but for him, because he deserves it. He's done so much for us. So we can play this wee video. This is a slower song, by the way, but you'll know it. If you are we'd like to pray. Just a few prayer pointers, things that really stood out this year that really came across to me and that have been talked about since we came back. So ongoing spread of the gospel, ultimately, and salvations. And they're happening daily out there, praise God. Safety of women, children, and teenagers. Recently, there's been talk of sort of men coming into the area that are drinking heavily, and they're quite concerned that these men will go into the villages and harm the women and children there. So just for their safety, angelic hosts around them. Wise decision making among committees or communities, sorry, and their leaders. So within the community we work in, you know, they have a little board that sit and make decisions about things, even things that they sell in their shops. So one thing recently was alcohol, and we were saying, no, you know, that's not a good idea. So just that they would be able to make their own decisions themselves, because we're not there to tell anyone what to do, but want to guide them in according to God's word, really. Faithful husbands towards their families. That might seem, I don't know, maybe a strange thing to ask for, but that's so, it's so important out there, you know, that the value is learnt of men sort of looking after their wives and their children would make such a difference. And when you see it working, and men that do that out there, it is beautiful. It's so lovely to see. And it would just be great if that would roll out further. And individuals realizing and reaching their potential, because there's something for everybody, just like here, there's something for everybody to do out there. And even children, you know, we know of young children who are just not minded for education at all. They just don't, they're not interested, but then they can go and learn skills and they thrive, and it's beautiful. Rapha Medical Center, just during a period of great change and challenges. So I won't go into it all, but they're facing sort of a lot of change in staffing, and just the senior medical officer, Paul, just, you know, he has plans, things he wants to do with his life, but just really for God's wisdom and God's plan and all of that, and just knowing what what way things should go. And then for crop growth and favorable weather conditions and health of livestock. So Ugandans are dependent very much on the weather, whether they get rain or whether they don't. And just that, you know, animals often die. So we maybe buy bulls or buy pigs or whatever, but then sometimes they die because, you know, grass and that isn't favorable. So yeah, very important. So that's just my final slide. It was just a quote I found by C.T. Studd. He was a missionary to China, Africa, and India. And he said, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him." And Jesus is worthy of it all. Like, we just, you know, so he's so good. And the smallest thing in our day, whether it's, you know, just sharing him with someone who has no hope, just sharing a smile, hello in the street, any of those things, you know, we're all missionaries on our own doorstep. But there's nothing we can ever say or give reason for as to why we won't do what he wants us to do, because he's done it all for us. So that's where I want to leave it. And I just want to say thank you, because this is all you folk that have, you know, you've donated money, you've donated clothing, you have prayed, and this is all, you're involved in this, and whether you maybe realize it or not, but you are, and you've made a difference, and you continue to make a difference too. So be encouraged. God knows what you've given and given up for them.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that he will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.